This evening we are in 1 Corinthians, continuing in chapter 7. We'll be reading verses 17 through 24. If you have your pew Bibles in front of you, it's page 1215. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 17 through 24. Starting in verse 17, Paul writes, "Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him, and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. Was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God. Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Were you a slave when called? Do not be concerned about it. But if you gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. For he who was called in the Lord as a slave is a freedman of the Lord. Likewise, he who was free when called is a slave to Christ. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. So, brothers, in whatever condition each was called, there let him remain with God." Let's pray before we begin this evening. Father, we thank you for your word. We just pray that the Holy Spirit open up our hearts and minds. Tune us in, Lord, to what your word has to say. In your son's name, amen. So it's important, always, where we start when we begin. A culture that is so confused, if you were to go out and ask 100 different people about who we are as human beings, you're going to get at least 100 different answers. Who are we? The study of anthropology. From a biblical perspective, nobody is born a Christian. Nobody today is born with the ability and the desire to serve the Lord. There are no God seekers unless God calls you to himself. We are unbelieving and we are rebellious by nature. That's just what we do as fallen, sinful people. This is the reality of the condition that we're in. And for many, this is a very hard pill to swallow. But it's a necessary one. Because we think that deep within us, God sees something that is good. We don't possess that. Outside of faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is a gift from God that he gives to us. And then after that, we express that to him. We don't start out with this. So this is why it's important to understand the condition of fallen humanity. Because what that does is it shines a spotlight right on our sin. And what does that reveal? The absolute need for grace. The Lord blesses his church with both saving faith and, what we're going to look at this evening, spiritual gifts. God's grace and love shines through our immorality. It breaks through our rebellion. It breaks through our unbelief. That doesn't stop God. The Lord's hand is seen working through our inabilities and our weaknesses. So if we've been saved, if we live a lifestyle that is moral, we'll thank the Lord because guess what? That's not the natural you. So we're seeing God's hand, both his grace and his mercy. We are all a mess. But we're God's mess. He gives his church talents. He gives his church abilities. After saving faith, now we have gifts. Now we have talents. He gives our heart a renewal to where our desires and our passions now change. Where we have the ability, where we have the desire now to do things that the natural person who we used to be before salvation would never want to do. And the Lord does this for the purpose of building up his church so we as individuals walk in holy conduct before the Lord, following the commandments of God, his revealed will. And in verse 17, Paul says, only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. So verse 17 is talking about believers. Verse 17 is focusing on the believers' actions with the spiritual gifts that they received at their conversion for the purpose of personal use in daily living. So it's a very practical thing Paul is getting into. Yes, there is a godly call to salvation, but there's also a godly call to practical living. From the moment of conversion to death, that's where the believer finds themselves. And the Lord has assigned you spiritual gifts according to the calling that he has ordained you to pursue. He demonstrates his grace to us by enabling us to live this moral conduct, to grow in our faith, to grow in our understanding, to be who we were yesterday to who we are today, and continually growing to the image of Christ until the day he takes us home with him. So when we're looking at this set of passages from verse 17 to 24, Paul uses the word call 8 times in these verses. The apostle is using this word for our true service to the Lord. The Lord has called us into a specific station. Each individual in this room is called to a specific station. And under his sovereign plan and guidance, you are not where you are today by accident. Now you may sit back and think, how did I get here? You may sit back and think, well, if I would have only done this different and if I would have only done that different. But as strange as it may seem, God has you right here in the moment, in the lifestyle, in the situation that you are in. So he has assigned it to you specifically, and he has called you to this for a purpose. So questions come up, and there's 4 questions in the bulletin that we'll be addressing lightly this evening. How do I know what my calling is? If I had 10 notebooks to fill, of how much I struggled with that, if I can say my younger years, it's relative, but in my younger years, how much I struggled with, Lord, what is my calling in life? And what did I miss? What was right in front of me? I'm looking over the horizon, and I'm not looking what's in my 3-foot perimeter where God has put me. See, this can be one of the more challenging questions a Christian struggles with. One problem is we think too big. We dream too big, and we're taught this when we're young. Don't dream small, dream big. You know, the Nike commercials. By too big, I mean we place too much value on the things that God does not. And naturally, because we have developed this marketing type of a mindset where we're focusing on the future markets, we're neglecting today and we're forgetting about the past, we're devaluing what God values because we have this materialistic or this idealistic concept of success and going forward, we end up devaluing the things that matter most to the Lord, where the Lord has put you, in the influence that you have been called in the perimeter he's giving you. What does this show us? This shows us that even as believers, we struggle with this. Even as believers, we have this unbelief and rebellion working within us where our ways are not God's ways. We still need to be straightened out. But we may think to ourselves, and this is a false humility here, that I have very little to offer. That I'm not involved with anything important. That I'm just a regular person living a regular life. Who am I? Or I'm too young. Or I'm too old. Or I've failed so much in the past. I have a rap sheet 10 feet long. Who's going to want to hear anything from me? We can make excuses as to why we don't get involved in what the Lord has called us to do. We think we're being humble when we say these things. But what we're actually saying is, no, God, I'm not going to do what you have called me to do. This is rebellion. It's not humility. It's rebellion. And it may be true according to the world's standards. What is the world like likes big, likes flashy, new. The world likes to stand out, to be unique, and say, look what I have accomplished. Look how successful I am. Look how many people know me. If you're a YouTuber, look how many subscribers I have. If you're on social media, if you're an influencer, it's how many people I influence. And then people walk around with this false sense of security that they're important because of the number of subscribers that they have in front of their name. People want biographies written of them when they're dead. Now, is this necessarily wrong? It is if we idolize these things, and it is if we exchange these things for what God has called us into, that we might think are just simple and small. But when we stand before the Lord, this is what the Lord's going to want an account for. What He has called you into, what was in front of you every single day of your life, that we're not chasing after some idol, we're not chasing after some dream or some ideal that the Lord has never called us to come into. So what is the Lord looking for out of me? Faithfulness and obedience to what He has given me and to what He has put in front of me today. He does not hold you accountable for what He has not called you to do, but He does hold you accountable for what He has called you into. So what has He called me for? Well, ask yourselves during the week, what are your responsibilities? Where has the Lord specifically placed you in life? That's where He has called you today. And you might think, well, it's just a regular 9-to-5 job. It's nothing important. Or I'm retired now, or I'm too young now. And here we go again with these excuses. The Lord has called you to what He has brought in front of you today, and He will give you the desires of your heart. So tomorrow, what He brings before you, you will be called and ready according to the gifts that He's given you. See, it may not be flashy because now the influence of this world system, now the marketing culture is in our mind. And we look at what the Lord has given me to do and I think, well, I could be doing so much more. And we neglect these small things thinking they're insignificant and we're reaching for bigger things that God has no intention for us to go after. See, you might not be seen. You might not be recognized. Nobody may even know what you're doing from Monday to Friday. But the Lord does. He sees you. He's the one who's called you into that. And He's the one who we're going to give an account to when we stand before Him for this, according to the gifts and the calling that He has blessed you with. So what do we have to do? Stop measuring ourselves according to the standards and the accomplishments of others. That is what the Lord has called for them and ordained for them, but that is not what the Lord has called for you. So then another question comes up. Okay, so then what is my lot in life? Ecclesiastes 5:19. Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them, and to his accept His lot and rejoice in His toil, this is the gift of God. So whatever God has put on your plate, whatever God has put in front of you at this moment is a blessing. Because like we saw when we started out, what do we deserve from God? What does God owe us as sinners? Wrath and judgment. So if we're getting something outside of that, that's a blessing. That is where we are to be content. That is where we are to rest. What is the lot in life that the Lord has given me? Your lot in life is exactly where the Lord has placed you. This is where the Lord has called you. This is where the Lord is seeking for you to rest and be content. And we can make this so much more complicated than what it is. See, one of the constant temptations, one of the constant things that we battle with in an affluent culture, in a culture that is thriving, in an economy that is growing, where there's opportunity abounding every which way you look. I mean, that's a blessing to live in a time like this, but it's also a curse in a way. Why? Because now you have so much that you can get involved in that it can distract you from the calling that God has given you. Having the opportunity to grow your wealth, being able to advance and climb the ladder, being able to go from rags to riches. See, success is not necessarily a sin, but it is a sin when this begins to rule your heart. When these things now creep into the center of what you do, and what the Lord has called you to do, you're kind of just letting go of that a little bit because now you're distracted over here because you're in an affluent culture where pretty much anything you want to obtain, you can if you work hard at it. When this becomes the main ambition of your life and you exchange this for the calling and the content and the peaceful, joyful lifestyle, the lot that the Lord has given you in life, when these two things are at friction, you're not going to be at peace. When you measure yourself against the standards of others and try now to achieve what other people have or what other people think or say you should have, rather than where the Lord has called you. What we have been given from the Lord is to be enjoyed today. See, our minds are to be in the present. Our minds are not to dwell and live in the past. Our minds are not to dwell and live in the future. Not on how we can keep building and building bigger barns, more success, more affluence. It's easy to get caught up in this where our focus is there rather than where the Lord wants us. Yes, we are to plan. Yes, we are to remember the past, to learn from the past and honor the past. But our hearts are to be giving thanks to the Lord in the here and now, where He has placed you today. So another question. Where now do you find yourself today? This is where the Lord has placed you. Today. Yes, your past decisions had an impact on where you are right now. Your past mistakes, your past failures, the would-haves, the could-haves, the should-haves, all plays a part on where you are today. But also the smart and the responsible choices you've made as well. But all of this falls under the sovereign hand of God. Where you are today is exactly where the Lord has ordained you to be. You can't escape the providence of God. So what now? Knowing this, now what? The answer? To bloom. Flourish where the Lord has planted you today. No matter where the Lord has planted you. No matter what situation or what circumstances you find yourself, flourish there today. Throughout this, Paul states, walk worthy of your calling. Now we're getting into the practical end of this. Walk is a Jewish metaphor referring to a person's conduct. In Judaism, one was to walk or to conduct their life according to the Mosaic law. Now the Holy Spirit has worked within you to live, to desire, to pursue the passions and desires that the law requires. This is what we want to do. You no longer have the power of sin ruling over you, but that's been broken now. You no longer enjoy the sins that you used to do. You now have the ability to grow in faith and walk in the Spirit. Continue this daily. The daily walk with the Lord, the daily fellowship with the Lord, the morning devotions, the afternoon devotions, the evening devotions, the prayers, the reading, the study, the meditation, the quiet time. That's at the very tip of the spear. And from that, we're being renewed, we're being transformed to the image of Christ. Now, everything we do during that day, you're filled with the Spirit. The flesh is set aside. You're walking in the Spirit every single day. This continues, small step after small step after small step. Pretty soon those small steps, you get enough of them, your spiritual growth. 2 years, 3 years, you look back and you're seeing a big difference in your life already. But it starts each day with these small steps. This, where you are today, is the station that God has placed you. Your lot, and your call to service. He has assigned you to this. He has called you to this. Paul mentions a couple here in the context of Corinthians 7. He says, if you're married, He says if you're not married. He says if you're circumcised or if you're not circumcised, if you're free or you're a slave, wherever you find yourself in, whatever situation you find yourself in, flourish. Walk according to the principles he's given you. How about today? What if you're a mother or a father? What if you're single or widowed or working or retired? In between jobs, still in school, back in school again, coming out of prison, whatever situation you find yourself in as a believer, that's where the Lord has called you to today. Your responsibilities are to be understood from the situations that God has placed in your life. Regardless of where you find yourself today, walk according to the call he's given you. Be faithful, especially in the things that we or the culture has told us to consider to be small. And nothing is suffering more today than the family structure in the home, because of the world standards that they put on the parents to obtain, to maintain, or to grow, or the career. That's not God's standards that he has placed on us. If we're starting to follow the world standards, and we're not being continuously fed by the Word of God in prayer and in fellowship and quiet time and meditation and knowledge and spiritual growth and those things, and we're setting our minds on the affluent things that we can grab a hold of in this culture, our hearts are going to start to dry out. Our attitudes, our bitterness, our frustration, our sins, they're not going to be dealt with, but now they're going to start to grow. We're not flourishing anymore if we're not walking in the Spirit. Don't go by the standards set by Hollywood, set by our modern education system. If you haven't noticed, almost every single one of them are wrong. And they continuously be wrong. And it's interesting when you hear a little bit about the celebrity's lifestyle and how many times they've been married and how many times they've been divorced and the children who are suffering from the families, from the parents who are irresponsible, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on. We don't want what the world is pursuing. The Lord has called us out of this. Human flourishing only takes place when we're living according to the principles that the Lord has prescribed to us. Which is why Paul says in verse 20, each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Paul is not against making changes to improve circumstances in life. That's not what he's saying. Many times change is necessary in order to remain balanced. We become overextended. We can cut off some excess in our life. We can change some things. This isn't what Paul's talking about. It's wise to change and to do better and to improve our living condition. That he's not saying this. Verse 21 proves that when Paul says that if you find yourself as a slave, seek to be free. So Paul is telling the people who were enslaved in the Roman Empire at that time, if you can become free, by all means, do it. But what Paul is correcting here is the opinion that if you change your social status, or if you think that pursuing something in this world will enhance your calling to live as a Christian, it'll make you happier, it'll bring you a content mindset, it'll bring you peace, it won't. Don't think that climbing the artificial social ladder of success will make you more happy, resulting in more spiritual lifestyle. The amount of money or the amount of investments or the amount of success you find in this world's system will not enhance your spiritual life. The more comfort you have will not enhance your spiritual life. Neither will fame, neither will notoriety, neither will the feeling that comes from being number one and your success and your accomplishments. These have nothing to do with your spiritual growth. Now, if the Lord has blessed you here, great. But if we're continually trying to pursue that ladder of success, thinking if I just attain that, then I can focus on my spiritual life, this is where the deception comes in. Having more of a specific thing that you're pursuing, having more of that won't increase your sanctification. See, what we're finding when we read Scripture is when we suffer is when we grow the most. When we face hard times is when our sanctification really starts to grow exponentially. See, deep down we want comfort. Deep down we don't want to struggle. So we think if we can improve our situation a little bit and become a little bit more comfortable, we're going to be better off spiritually. But if the Lord has called you into a time of suffering, if the Lord has called you into a specific lot in life, and you're looking over that fence, and you're wanting what the other person has, now your heart's being filled with that, now it's ruling you. You're no longer walking according to the Spirit, you are now walking according to the flesh. What Paul is saying here is that that won't bring you happiness. That won't increase your spiritual maturity. Again, these things are not wrong in themselves, but what ends up happening is when we turn these into idols, when we turn these into the things that we pursue, when they take the prominent place within your heart, when these things become your standard of measurement, or they become the trophies that we idolize, that we have out in front for everybody to see, this is what Paul is talking about. This is not the way, the lot that the Lord has called you into when you're pursuing these things. When you go home and you look at what you have, and you just came from your neighbor's house, you just came from your friend's house, you just came from your family's house, and you're seeing what they have. And you're saying, Lord, why don't I have this? What's wrong with me? And now your heart begins to question, where did I go wrong? Or, Lord, why haven't you blessed me with this? Or all of that bitterness can start to creep into you now when you have to realize that the situation that you are in, you can't escape the sovereign providential hand of God. So notice these last couple verses here. Verse 22. For he who was called in the Lord as a bondservant is a freedman of the Lord. Likewise, he who was free when called is a bondservant of Christ. You were bought with a price. Do not become bondservants of men. So, brothers, in whatever condition each one was called, there let him remain with God. So those who were enslaved when called to faith, enslaved in the Roman Empire of the time, in the Lord they're free. Notice that your present circumstances don't define you. Your position in Christ is what defines you. But what do? We look to the material things of this world. We look to the opinions of others. What do other people think of me? That's how I'm going to measure my success. It's not what Paul is saying here at all. Whatever present circumstance you find yourself in, that doesn't define you. It's your position in Christ. What matters is who you belong to, not who you are in the eyes of others. Who you belong to, you've been bought with a price. The Lord has called you. If you have true saving faith, the Lord has called you and specifically put you in the position where you are in right now. But when our eyes wander and start to look at the culture around and start to measure who we are and where we are standing with where other people are and where they are standing, now what we're saying is, that's what matters. That's what defines me. Lord, why don't I have that? We got the cart before the horse. It's not what we have, it's who we belong to. What matters is who you belong to. Manufactured standards do not define anybody eternally. Meaning man-made standards are not going to save you when you stand before the Lord. The Lord uses a completely different standard of measurement. He does not use the sinful heart of humanity. He uses his own pure nature. Only the Lord is who we give an account to. So whether you're at the bottom rung or you're at the top rung of the ladder of success, in God's eyes, it doesn't matter. You were bought with a price. This is where a Christian derives their value. This is where a Christian finds their purpose, in the blood of Christ, in self-denial and in suffering. Where we no longer pursue the desires of our heart or the things of this world, where we no longer live according to the standards of this world, we now have the revealed God of Scripture telling us what He has prescribed us, how He wants us to live. We no longer measure ourselves by how the culture defines success. I don't care what anybody else thinks. All I really want to be concerned about is what the Lord has said. And am I being faithful to the calling that he's given me? As Christ's slaves and freed people, all believers owe him obedience and allegiance. See, we're seeing here we've been bought with a price. Christ's death was an emancipation. It set us free from the slave market of sin. It broke that chain of bondage. The Holy Spirit poured into our heart, giving us a new heart so we desire, we pursue, we now have the ability to live and to match our desires according to the Lord's. Had he not have done that, and had he allowed us to continue to pursue our sinful nature and our fleshly desires, we would be in a state of bondage for the rest of our lives. We wouldn't be free from the slave market of sin. The blood of Christ freed us. There has been a change in ownership. We now identify ourselves to who we belong to. What does he require? What has he given me? What is my lot in life? Where has he placed me? What are the gifts he has given me to help build the church and to help walk a holy and blameless lifestyle before him? The Christian belongs to Christ. The Christian does not belong to themselves. The Christian does not belong to their job. The Christian does not belong to their bank account or not to any other human standard of measurement. Don't put yourself under the yoke and under the bondage of human beings. If you find yourself here today, begin to untangle yourself from this yoke that you have decided to place yourself under. The opinions of others, the standards, the measurements, the checklist that you had in life. By 20, I'm going to be here. By 40, I'm going to be here. By 60, I'm going to be here. You turn around and you look back and you haven't accomplished anything. You think your whole life's been a failure. No, that's the checklist that you set for yourself. That's not where the Lord has placed you. Be faithful to where the Lord has placed you. Rest where the Lord has placed you. Be content with what he's given you. We no longer play by the world system. We've been purchased from that. The slave market of sin, we no longer belong there. We have a completely different set of rules, different goals, a different mindset, and we've been taken out of that game and been placed into the center of all reality. See, all of that is fluff. All of that is image. It's like cotton candy. It looks real big. You put it in your mouth, it shrinks in a second you put it in your mouth. Anything of this world, you will thirst after it again. It does not fulfill, it does not satisfy, it does not save, it keeps us in bondage if those are the idols we continually pursue. Do not make yourself dependent upon the value judgments of others. Don't seek their acceptance, don't seek their approval. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. Generation after generation after generation has proven this to be the case. The older you get, you mention a name, the younger generation says, who's that? But in their heyday, they were the biggest, they were the most popular, everybody knew them, they were household names. Give it a generation, give it two generations, and nobody even knows who that individual even is anymore. A generation comes, a generation goes. The book of Ecclesiastes lays that out very clear. Don't pursue after those things. Be content where God has called you. Be faithful to the lot in life that the Lord has given you. Stop looking over the fence and comparing yourself with others. Amen? Let's pray. Father, these are hard words to swallow, but Lord, search our hearts. Cleanse us from within. Lord, show us, Lord, the bondage that we have put ourselves under if we're still pursuing the things of this world. Lord, we confess this. We ask for your guiding hand to untangle us from this and to be at peace and joy and content with what you have given us. In your Son's name, amen.